Is my religious experience just that? Is it just religiosity? Is it just church stuff? Or has God really made a change in my life? I want to give you an example of a man that had a spiritual experience but was left unchanged. His name was Jacob. And the Bible tells us that he was a deceiver and a conniver, and he just wasn't a good sort. He was always conning people. And he conned his brother out of his birthright. And he conned his brother out of the final blessing that his father would pass on to the eldest son just before he died. And his brother was so irate with him that he was going to kill him. And so he was running away to save his life. And the Bible says that he came to a place called Luz. And he stayed there. And that night, he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw an angel, a ladder, ascending from heaven to earth, with angels ascending and descending on this ladder, and the Lord himself standing at the top. And in the morning when he awoke, he said this: "This is an awesome place. This is the house of God." And he changed the name of that place to Bethel. Bethel, house of God. He was so stirred that he made an altar. And he made a sacrifice to God. He was stirred up. But he wasn't changed. The Bible says that he went on his way. And for 20 years, he continued his conniving and his deceitful ways. And then he decided to return back to his father's land. And again, he had an experience. The Bible says that this time, he wrestled with a man all night long. And the man that he wrestled with could not overpower him. And finally, day was breaking. And the man said, "Let me go. I've got to be on my way." And he said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Now, what was the blessing that Jacob was after? It was not wealth, because he had acquired a lot of wealth at Laban's house, his father-in-law. He was a rich man now. He was very prosperous. But there was something Jacob was needing. There's something that all of us need. There's something inside of us that we desperately need, and it's the touch of God. There's something that we need more than wealth, more than comforts of life, more than a nice home, more than nice clothes, more than a nice automobile, more than money in the bank. There's something that we need from God. It's a touch from God to say, "God, change my image. I don't want to be the old man that I've been. I don't want to be this character that I've been my whole life. I want change. I don't know about you, but I don't like the old man that I used to be before I came to salvation. I don't like that guy. He wasn't nice. I want to be a man after God's own heart. I want to be a man that reflects God." Do you know what Jesus said about himself? Jesus said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." What did he mean by that statement? He said, "I am the image of God." He said, "I did not come to do my own will. I came to do the will of the Father that sent me." And church, I do not bring a message of condemnation. I bring a message of grace and hope. But we do not have to experience remained unchanged. Now let me share with you some scripture, beginning with Romans chapter 8. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And beginning with verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. You might be in this audience this morning and you might say, it's impossible for me to be an image bearer of Jesus Christ. You're asking something of me that's impossible. I can't be that image. But the Word of God says this is what we're called to. We're called to conform to the image of the Son of God. We cannot stay in the same sinful condition that we were in when we first heard the gospel message. We cannot afford to stay in the same place where we were at when we were drug addicts and alcoholics. We cannot stay in the same place when we were deceivers and liars. There's got to be change. We've got to be a bearer of the image of Almighty God. We are the light of the world, a city set upon a hill, the salt of the earth. We are called to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. What is the image of the Son of God? He is, there's distinction in Him. There's dignity in Him. There's greatness in Him. There's honor in Him. There's majesty in Him. Magnificence in Him. Splendor in Him. Illustriousness in Him. Nobility and eminence. He's powerful. He's mighty. He's glorious. And we are called to bear His image. I am not called to bear the image. You know what Jesus said one time to some folks? He said, you are of your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil. You know who he said that to? It wasn't the alcoholics. It wasn't the drug addicts. It wasn't the prostitutes. It was the spiritual leaders of his day. And he said, you are of your father, the devil. And he explained why. He said, because you do the things that your father tells you to do. So I asked you this morning, what is it that your father is telling you to do? What is it that you have been called to do? Are you bearing the image of the Father in heaven? Or are you bearing the image of the God of this world? We are called to be in the image of Jesus Christ, to conform to His image. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 18. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. You see, it's one thing to read the commandments of God in a book, on paper and ink. And it's another thing to have the commandments of God written on tablets of flesh in our hearts. Has God written His commandments in your heart so that you can be conformed to His image? Verse 4, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. See, a lot of church folk, they've got the letter of the law. They know what the law says, but somehow they say, that's not attainable. That the standard's too high. I can't do that. But Paul says we can. He says we can attain it. Verse 6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, listen to this. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stone, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Let me share with you what he's talking about. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, God wrote them himself with his own finger on tablets of stone and gave them to Moses. And after 40 days and nights on the mountain with God, Moses comes down from the mountain and his face is so glorious and radiant from being in the presence of God that he had to put a veil on his face because his countenance was too bright. And if that dispensation was just temporary and passing away, how much glorious is our dispensation? Since Christ has died, and not only died, but has risen, and not only risen, but ascended back into heaven, and sent back the Holy Spirit to indwell our lives, how much more glorious is this dispensation? If Moses could glow with the glory of God, how much more should we glow with the glory of God? How much more should we be the light of the world? That's our calling. That's our calling. We're called to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. I don't know about you, but I believe that the Lord is coming for a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. As I look upon the world today in the modern church, did you realize that in every major metropolitan area, there is a mega church? Mega. I'm not talking about several hundred. I'm not talking about several thousand. In every major metropolitan city in America, you will find a church with 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 members. Well, let me ask you a question. If that many people have experienced the born-again experience, if that many people have been saved, why is our society going to hell in a handbasket? I'll tell you why. It's not being judgmental. It's just being real. We just have religiosity. We just have church membership. But we're unchanged. And I believe there's people in those churches that have been stirred. I believe there's people in those churches that have deeply been moved. They had an emotional experience, but it wasn't enough to change them. I don't know who this message is for, but perhaps there's someone in this audience this morning that you had an emotional experience. Maybe you walked down an aisle and maybe you cried. Maybe you ask God to forgive you. Some of us believe that repentance is being sorry for what I've done. And that is not repentance. It takes more than being sorry for what you've done. You know, there's murderers in prison. They're sorry for what they've done. They're sorry that they're locked up. They're sorry that they don't have their freedom. But they're unchanged. You let them out, they're going to do it again. They're unchanged. An emotional experience is not what God has called us to. He's called us to change. He's called us to change. Being associated with the church will not change you. Absolutely. We've got to change our thinking. We have got to change how we think. The Bible says to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Our minds are changed when the veil is ripped. I'm not going to read all of this chapter, but I encourage you to read the whole chapter. The third chapter of 2 Corinthians. Paul says that until this day, the veil is still over the faces when the law is read. And I think sometimes we have veils on our faces when we read the Scripture, when we hear a message. We have a veil over our faces so that we can't hear and we can't comprehend. The Word of God will change your thinking. The Word of God will change the way you look at the world, the way you view the world. Christians should have a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview. But we live in a generation that doesn't read the Bible. Christians, church members, they don't read their Bible. And because they don't read their Bible, their thinking has not changed. God is calling us to change. We must be the bearers of the image of Christ. I believe that Jesus is going to come. I believe He's coming again. I'm one of those preachers that still believe in the last trump. I still believe. Although it's been preached for 2,000 years, I'm still looking for it. I'm 60 years old and I've heard it all of my life. But I still believe it. I still believe it. He's coming again. And He's coming for a people that have made themselves ready. So I ask you this morning. Has there been change in your life since you first walked that aisle? Since you first prayed that sinner's prayer? Has there been change in your life? Would you bow your head? Last night, in an open air meeting, over 100 from 10 to 18 made a commitment to Jesus Christ. There has to be follow-up on those commitments. They have to be discipled and be changed. It just can't be an emotional experience. I wonder if there's someone in this audience this morning. If you would be honest with yourself and say, I have not been changed. But I desperately want change in my life. Would there be one that would just raise your hand and say, preacher, would you pray for me? I want change. There's hands. There's two hands. Any others? There's a hand. I want change in my life. I want change in my life. There's another one. There's another one. I want to be changed. I want to be changed. I wonder if you'd be so bold just to stand to your feet. If you raised your hand, would you just stand to your feet? I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray a prayer for you. God sees the desire of your heart. God sees your honesty. And God is going to effect change in your life this morning. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, as you look down upon this congregation and you see these that have stood, I'm asking you, Father, that you will effect change in our life. I ask, Father, that as they leave this house, there will be such an infusion of the Holy Spirit upon their life that they'll never be the same again. That the power of God is going to transform them into the image of the Son of the living God. I release the Spirit of God right now to fall upon us, just as you did 2,000 years ago upon 120 believers, and filled them with your Spirit. I believe you're going to do a work in this house today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Change. Change our thinking. Change our hearts, O God. From this day forward, we take off the old man and we put on the new man. From this day forward, I will not project my own image, but I will project the image of Jesus as you conform me more and more and more to His likeness. I believe that you've done a great thing. Now just lift your hands and just begin to thank Him for it. Just begin to worship Him. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've heard my prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I will be changed. It might not happen overnight. It might not be immediate. But little by little, day by day, I will be changed. As Jacob of old, I will be changed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can be seated. Jacob changed that day when he wrestled with the angel, and when he asked the angel his name, he was changed. The angel touched his thigh and he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. Sometimes there's a price to pay for change. Sometimes change doesn't come easy, but it's worth it. Change is worth it. I have not attained it at all. I'm being changed day by day, more and more. And we all are going to change more and more and more into the image of Christ. God bless you.
I cool or what, man? Yeah. Golly, y'all just don't know. You had no idea Big John's been preaching on spiritual gifts and showing your love, and showing Christ. And the youth have been studying projecting an image of Christ. You didn't know that, did you? Man, he just brought that home this morning. That God is awesome, y'all. Man, God is awesome. I'm sorry, I'm just blown away right now. God is just awesome. What we're going to do is what every church does after somebody preaches. Take your money. But it is time for the offering. And what we're going to have, y'all, we're going to do two offerings this morning, because the first one, you're not going to give enough. And so we're going to do a second one, so you have to give more. Okay? No, not really. What we do, we partner with Beautiful Feet in their ministry. And what they do, it takes money to do what they do. It's not something that just happens. And so the first offering, when we go around, y'all, whatever you give is for Beautiful Feet. So if you put your tithe check in there, it's going to Beautiful Feet. If you put your capital campaign in there, it's going to Beautiful Feet. Okay, so the first offering will be for beautiful feet. And once they do that, they'll come back around, thank you, for the second offering, which will be our normal church offering. So that's where you'll put your tithes. So I want to remind y'all, because I'm not going to talk before they give the second one. Fill out your card if you haven't already. Right here. My yearly commitment to the capital campaign. Multiply your number by 11 if you're doing it monthly. Put that there. Tear it off and put it in that second offering that comes around. Okay? So we'll pray and then these guys will go ahead. Lord, again, I thank you so much for your word that was brought this morning. That is, man, you're just awesome, God. I thank you for the lives that were changed this morning. And I pray that Christ community will be diligent in discipling each person as they come to know you and as they want to be changed in you, Lord, that we would be intentional about discipling each and every person in this place, God. I pray, Lord, that you would take the money that's given this morning as we just give that sacrifice to you out of love. I pray you would take it and use it in a mighty way at the Beautiful Feet Ministry and at Christ Community, Lord. We just thank you so much and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
See you clearly.
again for being here this morning. Awesome word. We'll pray and close out. And I was given a special prayer request for Joey Pressman. If y'all know Joey, he's having surgery this coming Thursday. I don't know if I'm supposed to give the details or not, so I won't, because I'm not sure if I'm supposed to. But just pray for him. They're, you know, what they're doing, it might be something and it might not be something, if you can figure it out from there. And so just really say a prayer for the doctors and everything, that everything will go well. And I'm sure there's other requests too, so we'll lift all those up. And y'all bow your heads, we'll pray, and we will go eat Mexican or something. Lord, thank you again for your word this morning. God, I'm still absolutely in awe of you and your word and how you just work things out. God, I thank you for each person that's here, and I pray that as we go forth this week, that we would really dig into your word and understand what it means to be a follower of Christ and follow after you and project your image to the people around us, because when we do that, that's when things will change. Lord, we can say stop bullying all we want to, but till you're shown, nothing's going to stop. Nothing's going to change until you change it, God, and change it through us, Lord. Use us. Use Christ's community in a mighty way in this community, Lord, in Grenada, Carrollton, Holcomb, all the places around. And God, I pray for Joey. Just lift him up to you. Have your way with the doctors, Lord, the nurses, everybody involved. And I pray everything goes well with him. Be with all our band folks as they travel back. And we just pray for safety for them. And God, we just glorify your name. Thank you so much. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I love y'all. Thank you for letting Big John be your pastor. Ready? Break.